The Bible has been called the Book of Books. Why does this all-time bestseller remain a mystery to so many, with few even professing to understand it? And why are most Bibles merely a dust-covered showpiece? The answer? People are unsure if it carries authority. Let's ask, does it? Or is the Bible mere superstition, an uninspired work of men? Are its 66 books simply a collection of fables, allegories, myths, and metaphors which have become time-honored? Or just Hebrew and Greek literature, perhaps only useful as a history book? The Bible is also called the Word of God. Must this be accepted on faith? Or can its divine authority be seen? Can one actually prove the Bible? Those who approach this subject with an open mind can cut through the fog of confusion and settle these questions. Here comes proof of the Bible.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age, full of bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
Many actively try to discredit the Bible. Others treat it with passive indifference. Still others hold it in awe, but blindly trust that it is divinely inspired. They seem to require no proof of this, and lack the conviction to apply its words. Do any of these descriptions fit you? Most people own a Bible, and family Bibles can be treasured possessions. But just as most never seek to prove the existence of God, most never concern themselves with proving the authority of the Bible. They either have no interest in such proof or assume this cannot be done. Others may not want to know because then they would have to act on the Bible. What about you? Have you taken the time to seek actual, tangible proof of the Bible's authority? Have you accepted it on faith? Most are never challenged to find real proof the Bible is the inspired record of a supreme being. While I regularly went to church growing up, I was never required or compelled to prove either that God exists or that He authored the Bible, nor was proof ever given or offered to me. And not one person even suggested I should be concerned with proving the answers to these two giant questions. Let's apply basic logic. What God would write an instruction book on how to live, command it be followed as His word, and then offer no proof that it is? No God would be capable of such inconsistency and unfairness. With no way to know its authenticity, on what basis could He require obedience to such a book? Thinking proof cannot be known, and not content to merely accept it on faith, some blow off the Bible, rejecting it as the revealed Word of God. Others profess to believe that God authored the Bible, but do not understand it, and twist verses to fit preconceived ideas. Most simply do not believe God. The Apostle Paul warned of dishonest people who handle the Word of God deceitfully. Because they do not really accept the Bible's authority or fear the Bible's author, theological institutes and seminaries of this world have developed a systematic way of spinning its plain words and meaning in favor of making passages appear to say what they need them to say. This permits preachers to come from a false premise of Bible authority for beliefs, and this helps them much more easily snare the unwitting and unwary. Thus, proving the Bible's authority goes hand in hand with reverence for the God who wrote it. Speaking on behalf of the one who claims to have authored the Bible, Paul wrote, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." If God, not men, wrote the Bible, and He tells you to prove all things, surely He would not exclude proof of His authorship of this book. Would God require you prove what the Bible teaches in all other points, but not expect you to absolutely know beyond doubt whether an all-powerful God stands behind its authorship? requiring you to then obey it, to adhere to its teachings? Get this, God would never exempt someone from needing to prove his own existence and his authorship of the Bible. If God says, prove all things and prove me now herewith, then he means it. And if God did not make the answers to these questions provable, he set himself up to be discredited. But if the Bible is the inspired word of a living God, then it is the standard by which you and I will be judged. Those who dismiss some or all of this book as the opinions of men who lived long ago, for example, labeling the bulk of the New Testament as mere Pauline theology, overlook its real source. Notice, all Scripture, New Testament and Old, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Apostle John recorded, the Scripture cannot be broken. So, if proven to be inspired, all the books of the Bible transcend the human instruments used to write them. Further, it states, every word of God is pure, and the Bible is described as purified 7 times. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Most spend their entire lives worried about what people think and say. Few concern themselves with what God thinks or says. Start with yourself. This begins with the question, have you sought to prove God exists? In fact, the first great proof of the Bible is inseparable from proof God exists. You will see each different proof that the Bible is the Word of God is also its own proof there is a God. Both can be proven. The most powerful and perhaps single most convincing proof of the Bible's authority is fulfilled prophecy. To the open-minded, it stands undeniable. Few know that nearly 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy, history written in advance. The Bible has foretold many things, small and large, that history proves happened. It foretells other coming events and offers proof they will happen. God's Word details specific trends and major events that will affect every nation on earth and declares, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Consider the following challenge, in fact, dare from the God of the Bible regarding what he foretells. This comes from Moffat's translation. The eternal cries actually mocks, you will see. Bring your case forward. State your proofs. Let us hear what happened in the past that we may ponder it. Or show me what is yet to be that we may watch how it turns out. Yes, let us hear what is coming, that we may be sure you are gods. Come, do something or other that we may marvel at the sight. Why, you are things of naught, you can do nothing at all. Fulfilled prophecy proves the divine authority of the Bible. No human can foretell events, let alone in detail, to occur far beyond his own lifetime. No person can affect a course of cities, states, or kingdoms for centuries to come. No wonder it has been said that prophecy is the challenge that skeptics dare not accept. You saw God taunts all such skeptics. Now notice, I am God, and there is none else. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Only an omnipotent being has the power to carry out events that span centuries or millennia of time. Only God can create or destroy nations or pronounce sentence on an entire civilization and bring it to pass. Prophecy is one of the greatest proofs of God and the authority of the Bible. Most people are completely unaware there is a purpose, a great plan for mankind, let alone what it is. The Middle East will soon play a large role in God's master plan for humanity. This region lies at the center of an astounding prophecy that will affect every human being. Over 2,500 years ago, God inspired the prophet Daniel to record a prophecy involving many fascinating twists and turns throughout history. This prophecy centers on the Middle East and culminates with tremendous events to occur in our time. Some prophecies are general, others highly specific. Some involve single events that occur at specific moments in time. Others are fulfilled slowly over many years, or even over centuries or millennia. Daniel's prophecy involves many smaller prophecies that can be examined one by one until arriving at the modern age. This longest single prophecy becomes one of the greatest proofs the Bible carries divine authority. After studying it, it becomes clear there is only one way to explain each of its 45 separate verses. The fulfillment of each verse is not subject to human reasoning, opinion, or interpretation. These prophecies have been fulfilled exactly as God foretold and have taken their place in history. They are now facts that can be examined and are powerful proofs that a supreme being foretold them and then brought them to pass. This long prophecy begins in chapter 10, goes through 11, and concludes in chapter 12, revealing what would happen in the last days. To see how these prophecies were fulfilled, verse by verse, and to learn about all that God plans to do in the next few years, you will want to read our thorough booklet, Bible Authority, Can It Be Proven? Afterwards, you will never again doubt the authority of anything found in the Bible. Any discussion of the Bible's authorship must address the idea of evolution. This represents the next subject in overall priority that should be examined, and it speaks directly to the existence of a God. Most have been taught from childhood that mankind evolved through a long, gradual process. While the evolutionary theory is commonly accepted throughout the Western world, it has never been more than an unproven theory. Yet, believing in the Genesis creation account is considered unfashionable, unchic, and even unintelligent. Those who do are ridiculed, and since the Bible contains the story of creation, if evolution is true, the Bible is a flawed book. Think, if the Bible is wrong on a matter as important as the beginning of all life on earth, it can't be trusted on any other point. It must be tossed aside as not worth the paper it is written on. Again, if evolution occurred, the entire Bible collapses like a house of cards. But if evolution can be disproved and the creation account firmly established, the Bible's authority has also been established. Make no mistake, all of the Bible purports to be the Word of God. It all stands or falls together. Either the Bible is a book of truth from start to finish, or it must be judged false. It would thus stand as the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on an unsuspecting mankind. Evolutionists invariably use terms like we suspect, we suggest, we are coming to believe, what may have happened, we may theorize that, it is our opinion that, what probably occurred is, or we do not know, etc. These terms do not inspire confidence. The dogmatic statements of the Bible do. The God of the Bible never speaks in such terms. He does not have to. He speaks boldly with authority about what he has done and what he knows he can do. God speaks knowing he is right.
The world to come will continue after this brief message. Discover more from David C. Pack. Visit our website, worldtocome.org. See the World to Come broadcasts. Read and order books, booklets, and articles, all free of charge. To continue learning about the topics covered in this broadcast, visit worldtocome.org today. Now back to David C. Pack.
The book of Psalms states, "Your word is true from the beginning." Actually, the more correct translation should be, the beginning of your word is true. An aside at this point has much to do with whether you will believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. In Luke 17, Jesus compared conditions before his return to those in Sodom and Gomorrah, described in Genesis 18 and 19. But almost everyone has been told that the early chapters of Genesis do not describe real people and real events. This is to accommodate the nonsensical fiction of evolution in place of a literal Adam and Eve. Now, had you realized Jesus said Sodom and Gomorrah existed, as did their destruction, and so did Noah, the ark, and the flood? Those who dismiss these and other Genesis accounts seem unaware that Jesus Christ validated this first book of the Bible. They also forget or willingly ignore that Jesus and the Apostle Paul referenced both Adam and Eve and how this confirms the creation account. Incidentally, we might ask, how many will believe and act on great prophecies just ahead when Jesus compared these future events to past Bible events most do not accept as true, as having ever happened? Evolutionists do not know the purpose of life. They do not know why they were born, and they reject the authority of God's word because they do not want him sticking his nose into their lives. If they can discredit the authenticity of his word, then they need not obey him. But it is evolution that is easily discredited. This theory is shot full of inconsistencies. Evolutionists have seized on many hypothetical scenarios within the overall theory of evolution in an attempt to explain the origin of plants, animals, the heavens, and the earth. Over and over, these theorists try to explain how life evolved from inanimate material into more complex life forms until it reached the pinnacle, human beings. But perhaps the biggest reason so many little theories collapse within the general theory of evolution is because they contain terrible logic that, ironically, require great leaps in faith to believe. Many examples could be cited to prove this, but time does not permit. But for now, think of evolution as entirely faith-based thinking. In other words, it is the Christian who stands on facts and the evolutionist who stands on faith. Let no one tell you it is the opposite. Think of the Big Bang Theory, evolutionists' explanation for how life formed. Everyone has witnessed explosions. Have you ever seen one that was orderly, even a little bit? One that created a watch or a computer, or one that produced a single thing of design, never mind exquisite design? No, explosions always produce destruction. If you threw a million hand grenades, you would see them produce destructive chaos a million times. There would never be an exception. Consider the following quote, involving the likelihood of an explosion eventually creating the entire natural realm of life all around us on Earth, let alone the beautiful magnificence and order seen no matter how far one looks out into space. An eminent biologist stated, "The probability of life originating from accident is comparable to the probability of the unabridged dictionary resulting from an explosion in a printing shop." And the author only speaks to the likelihood of any life at all, not just the most highly complex forms such as large animals or human beings, let alone all kinds of life. Finally, what about the very presence of life? Where did it come from? How did it get here? The Bible states that God created all life during the first 6 days of the creation week of Genesis 1. Is this true? Or did life come into existence by itself? The great pattern of all life is that it can only come from other pre-existing life. This is called the law of biogenesis, and every first-year biology student knows it. When examining tiny organisms such as protozoa or bacteria, it can be demonstrated that life only comes from life. There are many kinds of life, but each continues to reproduce the same kind over and over. This is indisputable. Life can never come from inanimate or non-living objects. Evolutionists theorize that inanimate objects, under certain unknown circumstances in the misty past, as they put it, somehow spontaneously gave birth to a primitive life form or forms. This presents enormous problems for anyone familiar with the nature and complexity of simple cells. Biologists understand that all cells can only come from pre-existing cells. Here's why. Cells, even in their simplest and most rudimentary form, are extremely complex. Consider. The simplest organism capable of independent life, the prokaryote bacterial cell, is a masterpiece of miniaturized complexity which makes a spaceship seem rather low-tech. Skeptics ignore the truth that it is impossible to have life without a life-giver. Only God has life inherent in himself. After all, this is what makes him God. No one created God. Our brochure, Evolution: Facts, Fallacies, and Implications, covers much more and thoroughly disproves this theory. The evidence presented is plain, emphatic, and irrefutable, and establishes beyond question the biblical account. Whether evolution occurred is inseparable from God's existence. My booklet, Does God Exist?, establishes the absolute existence of God. Many proofs show the creation account is the only plausible explanation for the origin of life. You will see why the God of the Bible twice states, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That some whom God calls fools might ignore, reject, or seek to discredit the facts is irrelevant. This material is for those who want the truth, not those who reject plain facts. I disproved evolution over 45 years ago and had no choice but to act on this knowledge. No one can prove for you the utter falsehood of evolution or the truth of God's existence. You must do this for yourself. Another proof of Bible authority is the principle of cause and effect. Most live their lives completely unaware of why things either go right or go wrong. They seem unable to comprehend that what they do or do not do has a direct effect on their lives. Most do not know that for every cause there is an effect, and for every effect there is a cause. Scientists understand this principle in physics, but mankind does not apply it spiritually. Consider how cause and effect works in life. If you routinely eat too much, you will get sick or overweight or both. No mystery. If you drink too much alcohol, you become intoxicated. This could lead to a hangover, being arrested, or even a car accident that could result in injury or death. If you break laws, you could go to jail. This will affect your family, employment opportunities, and your entire future. The Bible is also a book about cause and effect, containing hundreds of different laws, each carrying the power of cause and effect for those who keep or break them. Whether one knows every law in the Bible has no bearing on whether breaking them brings punishment. Just as speeding can result in a ticket, whether or not the driver knew the speed limit, those who break God's laws reap penalties, whether or not they know they're violating specific laws. Look at the world around you. It is filled with confusion, poverty, disease, ignorance, war, chaos, and unhappiness. Why? What is the reason mankind cannot solve its problems? Why do problems only increase and grow worse? Because the laws of God are being routinely broken by Earth's 7 billion inhabitants. The one who inspired the Bible states that his great law, the Ten Commandments, is holy, just, good, and spiritual. Again, think cause and effect. When God's laws are obeyed, they bring blessings, benefits, and good things into the lives of those who obey them. For instance, God promises to heal those who keep his laws and exercise faith in his power to heal. He promises to greatly bless all who obey his Sabbath. He promises good health to those who obey his many health principles. Each promise involves employing a right cause, obedience, to achieve a right effect. In each case, God describes a cause and effect relationship that proves the inspiration behind his instructions. But it will only work for those willing to take him at his word. So tragically, man has rejected the book that reveals to him the cause of all his problems. A specific example of cause and effect is God's personal challenge concerning the law of tithing. With finances on the minds of millions, the following promise becomes another way to prove the Bible's authority. The next verses set the stage for a verbal exchange between God and his people. "I am the Lord," God says, "I change not. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you," says the Lord. The exchange shifts to a rhetorical question from the people to God. "You said, wherein shall we return?" God answers with his own question. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." Now another rhetorical question from the people. "You say, where have we robbed you?" God's answer, in tithes and offerings. When people do not pay God his tithes and give him his offerings, he considers them to be robbing him. The context continues with God's offer to anyone who takes him at his word. "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." This promise is firm. Pay God his tithes and he will bless you beyond what you can receive. Will you believe such promises? More important, will you act on them? While skeptics reject this knowledge to their own hurt, thinking they can defy the law of cause and effect, the one who believes the author of the Bible will find many more proofs that God's word is not a book of mere human ideas. Also read how we got the Bible. Many merely assume the Bible is the correctly assembled word of God. Others poo-poo it, not realizing the canonization of the books of the Bible has a divinely inspired history that can be traced, unlike other supposed inspired books associated with different forms of professing Christianity. This booklet removes doubt about how God assembled his word so one can be confident in its authenticity, and it becomes another great proof of both the existence of God and that the Bible is his word. Almost none have comprehended what we have covered, and no single broadcast can more than scratch the surface of this subject. The churches of the world do not teach this knowledge, or certainly not properly. In fact, the majority who have, through the ages, thought themselves Christians have understood virtually none of this knowledge. But now you do. The Bible is a book backed by God. You can prove the authority of the Bible. You need no longer merely accept its divine authority on faith. If you diligently study the literature offered, you will have absolute proof this book truly is the Word of God. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.